Well, you know, I hope your Thanksgiving really, really was great. It was really special for our family. And Thanksgiving always reminds me of past Thanksgivings. As a kid, going hunting with my dad and shooting gray squirrels, and then eating them. I know. Don't say it. I'm from the South. We do weird things. Squirrel gravy. Yeah, you've never. I wouldn't do it now. Don't trust me. Don't leave the church over this. Okay. So don't. And memories of when our kids were small. Funny things that happened. One Christmas years ago, we were living in Seattle. We decided to go with another family to out of town for fun. It was Pastor Jude and Becky Fuqua and their three sons, Jude, John, and Jake, with me and Tammy with Jerry, Jesse, Jake. Six boys starting with their name starting with J, and they were all the six wild Indians, trust me. So we went to Wenatchee, Washington. It was really, really cold that year. I think at the peak of the cold, like in the middle of the night, it was like 6 degrees or something. It was stinking cold. And this was the only nice hotel really in the area, pretty nice hotel. And it had 9 stories, and the top story was a restaurant. And so the place was pretty full, and it was lively. It had an indoor pool, so we just lived it up. We owned the place. I mean, we just owned the place. We were running around having a good time. And the last day, Thanksgiving Day, we were packing up to leave. Our room is here. Next door is the Fuqua's. And the kids are running back and forth, running down the hall and being boys. And we're packing up and kind of oblivious to what's going on. And all of a sudden, we hear this sound. Beep! That high-pitched sound. And, you know, you think, what is that sound? Did someone do something to an alarm? What's going on, you know? And maybe, you know, 5 seconds later, I look at Tammy. She looks at me. And I'm not kidding you. Simultaneously, out of our mouth, we said this word, Jesse. And we said, where's Jesse? Jesse, where are you? Jesse, come in here right now. And he comes in the room. You know, what did you do? Did you do something? What did you do? Well, this little thing on the wall. And I figured if I pulled it, something would come out. I would get some candy. I said, well, what did he show me? We ran in the hall, and here's the fire alarm. It was really low to the ground. He had pulled the little red fire alarm thing, and that's it. But the problem is, it's Thanksgiving Day. This is a 9-story hotel. And when the fire alarm goes off, they shut down the elevators. When the fire alarm goes off, you have to evacuate the entire hotel. That means 9 floors of people have to go down the stairs, not the elevator. Worse than that, the top floor, the 9th floor, was a restaurant. People were eating Thanksgiving dinner. They had to leave their dinner and go down the stairs and go outside. And outside, it was about 15 or 16 degrees. And this mob of people are kind of complaining, what's going on? People in their robes, people waiting, but they're still got their fork and no food. I mean, they're wondering what's going on. And I have to go to the police chief and tell him, sir, I know what happened. So what are you telling us? Well, my little boy over here was fascinated with the alarm, and he pulled. I said, well, I can't talk right now, but, you know, we got to evacuate the entire hotel no matter what you're saying. I said, well, when you're done, would you mind having a little fear of God chat with my son? So we brought Jesse over, and the big burly fireman sits him down. He was pretty strong. I mean, he was actually pretty gruff with him, pretty strong. Don't ever do that. And he's never pulled one since. He stopped. He stopped. He broke the addiction. He's been free since that day. Thanksgiving memories. Thanksgiving memories. You know, so we were sitting at our table, as I said, on this last Thursday, and we're about to have this beautiful lunch. Tammy and Martina, my beautiful new daughter-in-law, helped her with. And Jake and his girlfriend Amy had just gotten there. And Tammy and Jesse and I were all at the table, and I just realized, wow, what a different season it is for the McKinneys. Weddings and girlfriends, and it's the first time in memory, like I said earlier, that we were at the table by ourselves. It was kind of a holy moment for me. We're sitting at the table, the McKinney table, and it was just a really special moment. And today, you know, in light of that, I just felt that the Holy Spirit spoke to me that on this Sunday following Thanksgiving, in the Thanksgiving season, we should go to God's table. Because you went on Thanksgiving Day to your table, to a friend's table, the table of Thanksgiving with lots of food and hopefully pleasant memories and exchanges and games and fun. But today, on this season of celebration of Thanksgiving, let's go to God's table. In the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle, he wrote a letter. It's called 1 Corinthians. He wrote that to the church there, and he was giving them some instructions because they had gotten confused on a lot of things. And he was, as the father figure, was correcting some issues. One of the issues was coming to the Lord's table, coming where there's the bread and the cup, and they had abused it, and it had gotten confusing, and it had lost its meaning. So he wrote these words you see on the screen to help them to come back into focus of why we even have communion as a church. Why do we have services periodically where we get a little cup and a little piece of bread, and that's, what does that mean? Because for some of us, when we mention God's table and communion, we automatically put on our mindset some preconceived notions of what that means. And it's kind of a religious thing that we do, and that's kind of cool. And what's really going to happen? And what should happen? What goes on when we come to the table? When we come to Mama Tammy's table, we know what's going to happen. All this food's going to be there, and she's going to somehow try to figure out a way to make us laugh and have some games, or something's going to be fun. You know, you have an expectation at your table. What is your expectation coming to God's table? By the way, Paul, again, the writer, before these verses, he actually calls communion coming to the Lord's table. God has a table that's spread for us. And there's meaning and purpose to it. In fact, let's just read these verses, and I want you to think this way. What are you expecting to receive from the Lord's table today? Think about that. That's a question for you. What are you personally expecting to receive from God's table? He says these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed." So this is the night just before he goes to the cross. He's about to be betrayed. He has his apostles together. And it says right before that, he sits down with them and he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread was a reminder. Well, it wasn't a reminder. It was actually an instruction for them because they hadn't seen it yet. He was about to go to the cross and die. So take this bread. This is my body, which is broken for your benefit. There's something in this now. They didn't understand, but they're going to break in the bread. There's something. My body's going to be broken for you. Then he goes further in the same manner. He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup," cup with wine in it, just a cup they had symbolically used all the time. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, drink this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you're actually proclaiming, you're declaring, you're bringing back into your memory again the Lord's death until he comes," meaning when he returns to earth again to receive us into heaven with him. Now, it's interesting to me because Paul's first words are saying, "I received from the Lord." This revelation of the meaning of why we even come to the table, which tells me we should have an expectation that we can receive from the Lord. This is not a religious exercise. This is not something that's done as a ritual. We need to take off preconceived notions. When we come to God's table, we should have an expectancy to receive. We're coming. This is not a memorial service. We're not, you know, "Oh, Jesus died." No. We're coming to a celebration in remembrance of what he did. And these emblems, these things that he told us to use, are remembrance focuses. As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance the fact that my body was broken for you. And when you drink this cup, let it remind you, really what he's saying, of my blood that was shed for you so that you could be saved from eternal sin, eternal damnation, eternal death. Wow, talk about a cool table to go to. A table where you really get into God's presence where it's His table. And as you come to it, you come with an expectancy. What do these two things mean to us? What can you receive today, right now, from God, from these two things? What can you receive from this cup?
It's good. It's really good.
Are you expecting just to kind of go through the motions because we're at church and you want to follow everybody else and drink this and that's kind of cool? What are you expecting? Because He said, do this in remembrance of Me. The table is a table of remembrance. It's getting back. What did He do on the cross? Why did He shed His blood? I think it could be summarized in one word for you today, this cup, and that means forgiveness. Everyone in this room, all of us, have made mistakes. We've made mistakes that we're not proud of. We've made mistakes at times we're even ashamed of. We've done some things that, thought some things or said some things that alienated us from people and even alienated us from God. And what this represents is being restored to God. What this represents is His shed blood, so you would not have to live in eternity separated from God Himself. Because every human has sin and is separated from God. Sin creates a separation. But when you come through His blood, you come back into life with Him again. So if you're here this morning and you feel, man, I need God. I don't want to be separated from God. I want to be close to God. I want to know God. I want to enter into His presence. Like, I don't know what that means. I want that, but you don't know how. Not the cup, but what the cup represents. The cup's not magical. It's not mystical. When you take it, nothing happened. I mean, it's not supernatural. What it represents is supernatural. It brings you to the place of remembrance. This simple act of taking this in, ingesting it into your body, and the moment you're doing it, you're just receiving, you're thinking, wait a second, I want to remember. Jesus shed His blood so I could have peace with God. I could have eternal life, and I don't have to die an eternal death. That's really good news. And if you've been involved in some stuff lately that you feel separated from God, what you can receive, I receive from the Lord. What you can receive by the cup is forgiveness this morning. It's a prayer away. It reminds us as we come to the table, we take the cup, that a prayer asking for forgiveness can bring you into right relationship with God. I want to receive that.
Yeah.
I'm ready to. I want to come and receive the benefit. I want to come and receive from the table. I want to receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
Are you with me this morning?
Yeah. Amen.
How many of you need to receive forgiveness this morning? How many? Yeah, my hand's up. Some of you, you desperately need God to forgive you specifically. There's things in your life right now you would like to know that God says it's gone. What He said that He is faithful and He's just and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Everything that you thought, everything you said, everything you've seen, everything you've done through your life or even recently, this morning, and you just feel like you want to get that off, you can do it right now by a prayer. In fact, I want to lead us in that prayer right now, asking God, if we come to His table, we want to receive from the Lord the reason we're even coming to the cup, forgiveness, cleansing, the washing that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ, your slate clean. No guilt. No guilt. Zero guilt. Nada. None. Zero. Empty. No guilt. No shame. The accuser, the devil, is back. The moment you pray this prayer, you say, hey, I'm remembering. Wait a second. I forgot. We remember because we forget. We have spiritual amnesia. We forget. I don't have to live under the shadow of shame and suspicion and guilt and condemnation. So I slipped and I fell. Hey, I remembered. Would you forgive me? When you come to this table, unlike any other table, it's a table of receiving. I want to pray for you. Put your hand on your heart this morning and And just to be simple and humble, can we all just pray out loud? Just follow me. We're all going to pray. We're going to ask him forgiveness. Wherever you are in your journey, if you need forgiveness today for things, as we come to this place of remembrance, just pray this prayer with me. Say, I come today, Jesus. Out loud, everybody. I come today, Jesus. I come because of what I've heard this morning. I want to be forgiven. I want to be clean. On the inside, in my heart, in my mind, in my memory, in my imagination, I want to be pure. Would you forgive me now? I want to be your son or your daughter. I want to be in your family. I want to be forgiven. Receive me now in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You see, maybe you've prayed that frequently in your life, but praying it today makes it powerful. Now, right now, according to the teachings of the Scripture, what's that Scripture that I had there for you? Colossians 1:13, can you put that on the screen? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it. Right now, you ought to be rejoicing and be really happy. I mean, you just prayed a prayer, and God has forgiven you for whatever's gone on in your life. You're set free. You're free. God doesn't look at it. He's not blaming you. He's really excited about you. Yeah. So, but the other part here is the bread, and His body, and the bread represent healing. We're coming to the table. Do this in remembrance of me. So when I put this piece of bread in my mouth, nothing magical happens. But it reminds me, if I'm focused, I'm thinking about what it means when I come to His table. And it means healing. Put the Scripture up, would you, in 1 Peter. 2 Peter. By His wounds in His body, you're healed. The stripe that He took, the abuse that Jesus took on His physical body, the Bible clearly teaches throughout the New Testament. It focuses on what happened to Him in His physical body. Provides, I don't understand how. It's supernatural, but He provides that you can be whole and healed through what He took on the cross on His body. It's incredible. So if you're going through a physical pain, a sickness, a cold, you're going through, fighting through a chronic illness or even a disease in your body. I have good news for you today. When we come to His table, it's a place of receiving. Not only receiving forgiveness, but receiving healing. Healing in your body. We need to get our brain focused on the powerful provision that's in the table, reminding us of the cross, reminding us of His body, and by His wounds, the provision is there. The blessing is there for you to walk out of this room healed today. And the Bible clearly teaches on healing. It says, if anyone's sick, let them call for the leaders, the elders of the church. Let them pray for them. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. It also says in Mark chapter 16, believers, people who believe in God will lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. We're going to practice this. Medical professionals, which we're grateful for, they practice medicine. Are you practice certain things? We're going to practice the Christian idea, the biblical thought of healing. We're going to lay hands on people who are physically ill and believe that miraculous things will take place because we're just following what the teaching is. We're coming to the place of remembrance. We're coming to the table and partaking. It's a place of remembering that if I act on this verse and I have a spirit of faith, someone can pray for me and I can be healed of them. And it's not just physical. Maybe you're going through some emotional trauma. Maybe you've gone through a deep depression. Maybe you're going through a personal conflict. What the word healing really means is a whole lot broader than you got an owie and it's better. It's fixing whatever's broken in your life. He is the healer. If that's not true, why are we here? Do you believe it's true? Yes, it's true. He is the healer.